Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called Perfectionism, taught by Lisa Kelly. We hope you grow closer to Jesus as you listen to this topic.
All right, so talking about perfectionism today. All right, so that's the same, right, is perfection, right, is hitting the bullseye, hitting the target. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I just wanted that image in your mind of like aiming for something, right, and what it feels like to aim for something. All right, so perfectionism in psychology is a broad personality trait characterized by a person's concern with striving for flawlessness and perfection, and is accompanied by critical self-evaluations and concerns regarding others' evaluations. Okay, so we're going to reference that throughout, is good versions and not so good versions of this, right? Perfect definition, having all the desired elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be, or absolute and complete. So if you look at the word perfect, because we're going to look at the verse, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, it has to do with complete, that absolute and complete, it has to do with maturity that way as well, the Greek definition used there. Okay. So these are some things to look at when it comes to perfectionism. Would anyone in here classify themselves as a perfectionist? Okay, there we go.
I was writing.
Oh, you're busy writing. Okay, so 5 out of 5, perfect. Oh, sorry, 6 out of 6. All right, perfect. So these are some things to think about. You know, you guys have probably had experiences where you kind of can't get over something not being exactly how you want it to be. I get that. At a deep level. So who decided what counts as perfect in any given situation? That is the question there. Who decided? Was it me or Jesus? When I'm pouring all my effort into a certain goal being accomplished, right? Is it something that I said I want this result? Or did I bother to check with Jesus what he says the perfect result is, what he counts as perfect? Who decided what that target is, right? If we go back to that bullseye, in order to know whether you're perfect or not, you have to know what the goal was in the first place, right? You're throwing here. The only reason you knew whether you were in or out is because there was a target and somebody placed a target there. So that's why it's worth looking at in any given situation. What is it that I think is perfect? Okay, would he say that the amount of effort, peace, strength, and time I'm pouring into this is worth it? Right, because we start to lose a little bit of peace sometimes, possibly, when we can't get something exactly how we want it. Now here's the thing, I should have started with this. The spoiler alert is that the answer is not that being a perfectionist is bad. By the way, I get like pretty sick of hearing even implied stuff about that, that somehow you're so much more healed if you don't care about anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm sure there's versions, but also people who don't care about anything and have to prove that to everyone are broken and dysfunctional too. So it's not really, that's not like the ultimate goal here. That's not where we're going, is that if you can really just be healed enough, you just won't care. You'll just be some chill, like, surfer dude on the beach who just doesn't care, you know? That's not where we're going, okay? So if you're fighting with that the whole time, and maybe you've had people imply that a lot, if you were more healed, you wouldn't care so much about things. If you really were a good Christian, you would just go with the flow, you know, just free to be you and me. We don't care. You know, like, and that's not where I'm going with this. We want to find the biblical definition. We want to get our eyesight lined up. The target that we're moving towards, we want to get that lined up with what Jesus says. Because there's actually a lot in the Bible about do things with your whole heart. Do them with excellence, right? It doesn't say just stop caring for once. Who cares if this line is crooked or straight, right? That's a personality thing. Same as people who just don't care about anything also need to get that lined up with what Jesus says, right? So if you've been told a whole bunch of times that there's something horribly wrong with you because you're a perfectionist, I'm sorry that that happened. Everybody needs to come under the submission of what the king says. And Steve himself would actually say that he collects perfectionists here, right? And guess why so many things are completely amazing around here? A perfectionist was in charge of it, right? You get a perfectionist healed, oh my goodness, they'll move heaven and earth. They will accomplish huge things. They absolutely will. We just want to get this back in alignment with, okay, the things that I'm starting to center in on and focus in on and I can't move past it. Is that something that Jesus has said, I want you to accomplish this and this is worth your time and effort and energy and all the heart that you're putting into this, it's worth it. I'm saying it's worth it because it's going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Right? Am I allowing him to correct me according to what he cares most about, or am I taking over by correcting myself? That's another perfectionist thing sometimes, is we hate the idea of anyone else perfecting or anyone else correcting us on anything. So it's like, okay, I'm just going to be extra hard on myself and make sure that I am on top of things all the time. And I see all the things about myself all the time so that nobody else can correct me. Right? And that was part of that first definition, right? Is that a perfectionist tends to be really self-critical. Ooh! Really self-critical. And so some of that, if it's fueled by, I don't trust somebody else to be in charge of guiding me and correcting me in a loving way, then we have to do it ourselves. And it turns into that kind of perfectionism. I'm so scared of making a mistake in front of another person because then they'll see me a certain way. Or, okay, do you guys know, like, this fearful feeling of what if I just go into this scenario fully confident and I just walk into this room, hang out at this party, just myself and confident. And then I find out later that I said something wrong and somebody else has to tell me, hey, did you know that actually that was kind of the wrong thing to say there? But you had no idea because you weren't paying attention to everybody's thoughts and feelings and emotions the entire time, so you missed it and you didn't see it. Does anyone else relate to like how terrifying that feels? Yeah. That you miss a cue like that? You miss a social cue? Or you make a mistake in front of everybody and you aren't aware of it? See, it's different if you can say, oh, don't worry, I know that was terrible. I know that was really bad. I know that that was the worst, right? That feels somehow a little bit more justified. It feels like, okay, don't worry, I'm cool. I know how terrible I am. I'm aware of this. I'm at least aware of how bad I am, right? Does anyone in here, when you give a gift to someone, do you apologize for it because you know it's not perfect? Anyone ever done that before? Yeah, okay, cringiest thing of my life. Holy Spirit, not the cringiest thing. I have a cringy life, so. One of them up there was when Holy Spirit said about a picture that I drew for somebody, and like I can draw okay, but not like some of us here who can draw really good. Okay, it's okay. And I really wanted to say that because I was supposed to give it to a person, and Holy Spirit said, don't explain, don't apologize for this gift you're giving. You can't say a thing. If they say thank you, you say you're welcome. That's it. I'm like, no, I don't like this plan because they won't know that I know it's not that good of a drawing. They have to know that I know that. They have to. Otherwise, they'll think that I think this is good. They'll think I'm proud of this. Obviously, I'm not. I'm just obediently giving this, but I know it's not that good, and they need to know that. You guys ever have that feeling before? They need to know I'm aware this is trash, what I'm giving you, and that it could be way better, and this is how it could be better, and I know that. You know, and he said, don't apologize at all. You hand her the picture and say that Holy Spirit told me this was for you, and that's it. Have you ever tried that before? I challenge you guys to try that. Give it a try. Your skin will be crawling. It feels weird. Give somebody something nice and don't apologize for it. Don't say how it could have been better. I really challenge you to give that a try. That's your homework. And see how your heart feels about that. Right? But there's something in that where we take over Holy Spirit's job. I'm not talking about actually just being aware and being kind and considerate. I'm not talking about that. It's where you're so fearfully, frantically trying to make sure you don't ever make a mistake in front of a person. Right? That comes out of so many different things. Right? Fear of being rejected. This feeling that you're like the water's here and everyone's about to find out that they don't like you after all. Everyone's about to reject you. Everyone... They barely tolerate you, therefore, if you make a mistake, that will be that. Right? That can come out of that feeling too, so I gotta make sure I never make a mistake. That every joke I say is really funny. Right? Or whatever it is. You know, that everything I do is so great that they will keep putting up with me. And they'll let me hang out, you know, they'll let me stick around. When that's the motivation, that's not the kind of perfection that Jesus calls us into. That's turning into, I need everybody to accept me. That's turning into, I'm just running away from the rejection of my past. You know, and really what we want is for Holy Spirit to have a place in our lives where he gets to correct and we trust that he has our best interests in mind. And sometimes he'll do that through people. And that's actually okay. Doesn't feel okay in the moment, but it is actually okay. I think about Miles making mistakes and me having to correct him. And do I still love him so much with my whole heart after? Yeah, totally. I would hate it if he felt so scared around me that if he made a mistake and I had to correct him, that would be it. Then he'll never come back from that. I would hate that. I want him to know that the correction is part of, it's my job to take care of you and make sure you're okay because I love you, not because I don't. I would really want that to be clear to him so that he can make a mistake and then I correct him and then we move forward totally loving each other. And when that love is not there, it's fear driving the perfectionism. Am I doing this perfectly to gain favor with people or with him? Okay, that will also look at what is this target that I'm trying to hit? Is it like even in ministry? If I think about worship leading, if I decide that a perfect set is if I don't make a single musical mistake the whole time, you know what I mean? Like if that's what I say, that counts as perfect. That's what I'm aiming for, is I don't miss a single note and I sound like Mariah Carey. Good thing I don't aim for that aim, but like, that was mean to me and unnecessary. Sorry. Okay. Next. Shouldn't have said that. If that's what I aim for, if that's what I decide, okay, I'm going to really make sure and I'm going to put all my effort into that because I want to be seen a certain way by people, that would actually be missing the real mark. Even let's say if I achieved that, but it took my energy away from what Jesus says is a perfect set, which is where he is honored and glorified. If it started pulling my resources, my energy, my effort, my attention, all of that, if it started pulling away from what he says is perfect, then it doesn't help if I put all my effort into that. Then it wasn't really perfect. It was an earthly version of it. It wasn't the heavenly version of what's perfect. And so this is a good thing to check in with him all the time about. What's actually perfect in this scenario? What do you say? Like, what do you want to accomplish? If we're going to be perfect about something, it better be what he says is right in any given scenario. What does he want to be the outcome? And then put all that same effort into that. This isn't about not caring. This isn't about like just giving up and again, just free to be you and me, whatever. It's all good. It's all about the heart, aka I'm not going to work at this at all because my heart's in the right place. No, that's not where we're going. Do it right for the right reasons and for the right person. Pour your effort and energy into that into what he says he wants to be accomplished in this, in whatever the scenario is. All right, so the verse is in there, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, so then let's actually think about that. How is he perfect? What does his perfectionism look like? Anyone want to tell me?
Love.
Okay, yeah, it looks like love. That's perfect to him. Like, does he ever seem scared within it or worried about I just can't get my thoughts to stop racing? Like maybe some of us do. What is he like within his perfection?
Confident.
Confident, yeah.
Driven.
What?
Driven.
I thought you said tripping. Like, isn't that the opposite?
Yeah,
he's driven, but why? What's his ultimate goal? What is he out to accomplish?
Connection,
yeah. Okay, this is a really good thing to find out, because if we're called to be, and this is Jesus, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, we should figure out how is he perfect? What is this goal? What is he like in his perfection? Because that is what we're being called to. And so what does he care about the most? And a really major one, how does his perfectionism lead him to treat people? If I think about how my perfectionism sometimes leads me to treat people, it's not the same. Right? Have you guys ever felt that when you're so intent on a certain goal that people kind of are just in the way? Right? It starts feeling like if they can't do it right, like, no, I just want to do this myself. Don't touch this. I used to almost never let somebody bake with me. Almost never. Because it was something I could make perfect, except I couldn't because my picture is always better than what I create. Right? You want to know how many of my cakes I'm actually super happy with? The number's starting to grow, but maybe because I'm learning and changing and growing in multiple ways. But it used to be almost none of them that I was actually happy with because I knew what it could have been. Right? Does anyone feel that way about things ever? Right? And so sometimes within that, it didn't lead me to be a person that treated others nicely. Because also I was being so hard on myself. A natural fruit of that is that we're really hard on other people too. Now, I'm not talking about calling them up to be greater. I'm talking about being too hard on them and just looking for their mistakes. That's something to really be aware of. If you're being extra hard on people, very likely you're not very happy with this. And you're just seeing other people's mistakes all the time and you kind of want to point them out. Not even to them, it's more fun to other people anyway. But that's like, when that's stirring up and you start to hate other people's mistakes more and more and more, and that's growing, It's probably worth checking. Am I happy with me right now? Or am I dwelling in some self-hatred right now? Am I not very peaceful with me? What is God the Father like in his perfectionism? Okay, so we're going to read the context of that verse. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, so then how does this go together? How is he perfect in that context? It was your answer from before.
Love.
Yeah. It's this maturity in love that he can even love the unlovable. I've never actually looked at it in that context before. Because a therefore always means that there was an argument leading up to it. That's what he was talking about, and then says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Unless that thought is a complete jump in the conversation, maybe they walked another 14 miles in between and we don't know about it, right? But it happens to be after those verses. Verse 44 and 45 also, you know, it reiterates that. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you or bully you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That's how you would be children of your Father in heaven. That's something to be perfect in, and to be not perfect as in pretending to be perfect, but to actually let yourself be perfected in. This is incredibly convicting for me too, that the same amount of effort and energy I put into making that, man, if you've ever made a naked cake before, you have to get that in one swoop and you cannot lift whatever tool you're using off of it or it will leave a line, so you have to do it again. And if you touch it with your thumb accidentally, you have to do it again and again and again. I saw Miles the other day making a gingerbread house. Okay, so it was like a month ago. And he stepped back and turned to the side and looked at it. And I'm like, oh, that's a Lisa Kelly move right there. He has seen me do that with so many baking projects, where you got to look at it from different angles. And from the side, and then lower, and then look at it. Right? And so he did the exact same thing with his gingerbread house. And we have had some scary revelations a few times watching him with his sticker book. I guess he didn't have much of a chance with two extreme perfectionist parents. That sticker book, it's like there's a silhouette he has to hit with his animal shape. And if it's not right, it comes back up. And he developed that real quick. So, okay. So that's all right. Again, it's fine to be a perfectionist if you can keep being healed in it. Am I perfecting this because I hate myself? Or am I perfecting this because I love the person? I love Jesus. That's why I'm going to do this perfectly. That's why I'm going to pour my heart and soul into it. That's why I'm going to get it right. Because he says it's worth getting right. Because it's going to accomplish what he wants. That's the bullseye. What I'm pouring this effort into is something that I know he wants. And I've had a couple of scenarios. Oh yeah, here's one of the verses I was talking about. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Right? So that's like, to me, that doesn't mean that I'm going to put less effort into something if it's for Jesus. Right? That doesn't mean that the healed version is just kind of, eh, he'll get it. He'll see my heart in this. So if it doesn't turn out at all, whatever. It's a matter of getting on his page. If he's the boss, then what does he want in this scenario? What does he want out of my department? What does he want out of my homework, out of my job, out of this relationship, out of whatever it is that I'm trying to produce here today? What does he say is a perfect version? I'm going to give you a couple examples. All right. There was a scenario, I couldn't find the actual picture of it, but this is, these are some of the girls that I was leading at the time. And so as a perfectionist, right, then I would want, naturally I would want things done perfectly, but there's a few times where Holy Spirit said, okay, in this case, there's a specific, like I had an idea for one of the art projects there. Okay, it was a mirror that looked kind of, like it was an oval. I was like, oh, Easter's coming up. That would look really cute if it was painted like an Easter egg. Okay, and so normally I can just do my ideas, but as a leader, that is not how this works. You have to get somebody else, well, you have to delegate and teach people is what you do as a leader. You don't just do everything yourself, because if you touch it, then it will not be perfect. Give me my space, right? So you actually have to help lead other people and teach them and train them and not be freaked out about everything being perfect the first time. Nobody can learn under that kind of under those kind of rules and regulations that your first try has to be perfect. right? That's that is a scary way to learn. And so I had to learn about teaching other people. And so there was this, there was this egg-shaped mirror, and he was having me teach Kim how to do that. And he just kept telling me, like, what I say is perfect in this is that she got a chance to try. And she's believing in herself now more than she did before. That's what I want to come out of this. Not that the egg looks exactly like an Easter egg. She did a great job. But the point was, that's what's perfect here. That's what we'll accomplish. What I say is perfection in this is that she believes in herself more. And so pour your effort into that. I don't care if that line exactly has, you know, smooth edges. Not nearly as much as I care about her growing and learning. And he did that with me a couple times and really challenged what I saw as the perfect outcome. Right? Was it really about the person at all? Was it about a person growing and learning? Did it accomplish what he wanted, or did I not care and I just wanted to control something, you know? Anyway, Mexico trip. Okay, we'll go to this. Here's what happened many crazy things happened, but one of them was that one of the last days in the worship set, and they had a really big team. They had a bunch of students that showed up for that. They invited the Americans, any of them that wanted to come up to sing a song with them, and they did their songs in Spanish the whole time, right? And me and Ryan were both in that group, right? The worship pastors of the church were in that team. And Zane went up. He volunteered to go and sing on stage a Spanish song. Zane.
Wow. Zane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's surprising. But it was amazing because you know what? He came to life on that trip. He used to just like completely hide all the time and like just no one really saw him. And on that trip, he woke up and just was all of a sudden himself and was like brave and bold. And it was really, really cool to see. And so when it came to that song, Holy Spirit made it very clear, like, man, that would have been pretty boring if me and Ryan went up there and just sang it. What was supposed to happen was Zane going up there. It had nothing to do with being able, well, actually, he can sing well, so that was fine. But the point wasn't just like, oh, no, you should be able to exactly sing these notes. What the Lord wanted to accomplish in that had to do with raising up Zane. That's what he wanted to have happen. That was perfection for him because it had to do with a person actually becoming more of who he was meant to be. And so quite a few times the Lord has challenged in me what I see as perfection and what's worth my time and energy. Now, are there times when things should be done with excellence? Yeah, all the time. But why? Right? If you think about the lights of hope, the admin being done right, yeah, we want to get that right. Right? The organizing and the planning and the paperwork behind the scenes stuff. Am I saying like, oh no, the Lord wouldn't care if we just, they'll figure it out. They'll like it. They'll like the lights. So who cares if one thing costs something for one person and something different for someone else? They won't mind. Whatever. We tried. I'm not talking about that. Absolutely. Let's do it with excellence and with our whole heart. But why? Because of him and what he wants to have happen in the situation. And let's angle and channel all of that passion towards the goal that Jesus has laid before us. What does he say is that bullseye? And how can we put our effort into achieving that? You know, not to keep everybody happy, not to run from rejection, not to control everything. But to do what he's asking us to do with our whole heart. So if we go back to the perfection of Jesus and how he did things perfectly, right? If something didn't work out, like let's say, like he's trying to accomplish, he wants everyone to be saved, right? Like to him that actually people repent and are saved, right? And when they didn't, the frustration and the sadness was actually because of loss of connection with them, right? It wasn't like, oh, I'm the worst, right? He never went into that. It wasn't that his identity was ever on the line, right? Whereas that's really common, right? For a perfectionist, that it starts bleeding into who you are and whether you have value or not, you know? And that's really tricky, especially when you are a driven person who has like hands-on skills, because it kind of is part of who you are, right? Because it's like, this is what I like to do, until you don't, until it doesn't work, and then I'm the worst, and you know? So there's an identity thing there, there's a foundation. Wait a second, this has now moved into, I'm actually believing lies in this, you know? And so that's a helpful little red flag. Okay, that's not being perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect, because it's not based on truth anymore, right? I gave the example on Wednesday morning, right, about like how the 12,000 compliment thing, right? And your job might be the seventh compliment in somebody's journey of breaking their self-hatred, right? And so that's when you really need the faith to follow Jesus in that. Okay, when he says what's perfect in this situation right now is you just saying that. And then they just totally disregard it and don't hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and don't give you the time of day, and don't believe you, and don't believe you, don't receive what you're saying at all. And then to walk away from that not feeling like a failure, but it's that trust in Jesus of, I did what you said you wanted me to do in this situation. And so the outcome, like you're saying, that might be a long time from now, and it might not be at all, and still it was the right thing that he told me to do.
I think it comes down to so many times, like my idea of success is not what God's idea of success is.
For sure.
And I need to remember, like he will remind me a lot of times when I'm getting into things and I feel myself slipping into perfection, is like I'm not calling you to be successful, I'm calling you to be faithful.
Right, and so, that being, if that's what he says, then it's the faithfulness. That's that target, right? So again, it's like, okay, I'm going to still pour this effort in to be faithful to you, Jesus, right? And really, really getting that recentered as many times as it takes, because that's a lot of recentering into, I will do what you're asking me to do, but I'm really distracted by what looks perfect on the outside, right? Especially with ministry too, right? This is something that you can like practice all the time. It's really practical. What do you want to have happen in the situation? Sometimes you will see the results right away, and sometimes you will not, maybe ever. Right, there's lots of prophets that did the right thing. They didn't see a split second of what they were prophesying about because it was hundreds of years later. They still did what they were supposed to do, right? So not being too addicted to results that way, because it takes some faith to do that. But it's good. Anything that builds your faith is good, because it takes faith to get grace, and we need grace to be saved. So faith is a really good thing to build. And it takes some of that for this. So, how you guys feeling? You like yourselves anymore? You still hate yourself? Where are we at? I don't like making mistakes. I don't like making mistakes at all. So that's like, man, I completely get this. Again, we produce a child that is already a perfectionist. Like that happened way faster than we thought it would, that set in, that he wants all his edges lined up. I have never seen a three-year-old care that much about lines being met up. So we're gonna have to work with that. And it's like a serious, it's a convicting thing for me. I want to make sure that he likes himself, that he loves himself anyway, that he knows how to grow through that he knows how to try again and for that to be okay, that he knows how to learn and for that to be okay, because learning requires some failure. Unless you're the kind of person you can try things one time and you get it perfectly. Unless you're that, then it will mean you're going to do a little bit of stumbling in order to get where you want to go. Is that going to be okay or not? And for me, it's helpful to see, okay, Miles Kelly, I want him to be able to try. To try, figure it out, and I'll help him get it better next time. But because I love him, not because I'm afraid, not because I'm trying to control everything, out of a fearful place. Can you imagine if Vicky was here listening to this? Imagine she was just talking over all the silence. But I think it's okay. I think Holy Spirit's up to something. I hope so. Otherwise, what are we doing here? And so let me pray for you guys, okay? Let's do that. Prayers only work if you have music in the background, by the way.
I knew there was a trick to it.
That's it. It's probably what you were missing last time.
Problem solved.
Problem solved, I know. Why'd you have to wait for level 3 for that? Yeah. Someone could have said. All right, do a little praying. Let's try this. All right, so Jesus, thank you so much for this class. And thank you that they're all perfectionists. That's kind of fun. And I pray that within that drive to get things right and that spirit of excellence, that will be purified today, just a little bit more. That this drive to do things well and with excellence would be washed clean, that the fear would be washed out of it, that rejection would be washed out of it. Painful experiences in the past where people were really just too hard on them and expected too much from them, especially at certain ages where it shouldn't have been expected yet. And I feel like that's a major one right there of expectations placed on you when you were younger that were just not real, that were not helpful, that were not lined up with what Jesus was expecting of you. And Jesus, I ask that right now you go into those memories, whatever you're bringing up, that you would show your heart for them as kids, trying to figure out why they couldn't get it right. That you would bring peace to that memory right now and truth. Yeah, I pray for truth to reign in those memories right now. Yeah, where it just felt like it just wasn't working, like they wouldn't be good enough. And anything spoken over them about not being good enough or not having potential or not being able to ever be good enough, that would lose its power now, that you would remove that lie out of their spirit, out of their thoughts, that it would stop tormenting them and that the truth would come back in. That the truth about their identities would start to have its work, that it would touch their hearts. Your truth about their identities would start to wash away the lies that have hurt them about who they would be able to become, about even how you see them, and just the perceived disappointment that maybe they've felt like they're under that cloud from you all the time of just continued disappointment, and no matter what they do, that you're not happy with them. Jesus, that cloud would just be blown away right now, just like the clouds parting and the sunshine coming through of how you really see them, what you really say is true about them. And I ask that their perfectionism, their passion be refined in Jesus' name, that it be used for greatness in the kingdom, that it be a tool used to build your kingdom, to reach people, to love people, to set them free, to impact people in a big way, that these amazing gifts that you've given each one of them here, incredible gifts, that they would be refined and dedicated, surrendered to you right now to be used for what you want to accomplish, to build your kingdom here, to get more people into your arms, to get more people to see who you are, that each one of them would get to work alongside you in fun ways, in tangible ways, that they'd really experience joy in their work, that would be brought back to life, that you would remind them why you made them the way that you made them. Each one here, the way they were made is so purposeful, and the gifts that you gave them. And would you even just start giving them pictures now of what you meant their gifts to be used for? What was your heart and your purpose and your plan all along? Jesus, I ask for more washing, washing, washing in the name of Jesus, that washing would happen in their thoughts, in their hearts, in their identities right now, that things spoken over them by parents that were not true, that didn't line up, that they would be washed away right now, spoken over them by themselves, even things that they repeated, for myself too, Jesus, things that we've repeated and taken into our vocabulary about ourselves, taken in and accepted as true about us, that those would be exposed and that the power of them would be broken right now in the name of Jesus. That lies about our identities would be broken off and that their power would no longer continue in our lives. But that your truth would take root today and it would grow and grow and produce good fruit and produce great things and produce joy and produce life around us every day, every place that we walk into, that we'd be producing life and producing joy. And that in every instruction we receive from you, Jesus, that we'd be able to connect with how you're saying it, that we'd be able to hear your tone of voice clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.